This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Pressure. You got to rise above it. Mm-hmm. You got to harness in the good energy, block out the bad. Harness energy, block bad. Mm-hmm. Feel the flow, happy. Feel it. It's circular. It's like a carousel.
All right, Michael, the whole show pressure cooker here. I don't have any specifics for tonight. I'm not really putting. Your guy survived. Feltner survived the pressure cooker. You got to feel good about that. Got out of some trouble.
Yeah, I felt he was going to do it.
Yeah, good job. Good for you. I'm not going to go anywhere tonight. Here's what I'm looking at. The news of the day that I kind of got on the UNC Bears with the transfer portal stuff, Mike. Their top six scorers from a year ago are not going to be back. Quinn graduated, Brock graduated, Zach graduated. Ibu Yamazaki is going to play professional basketball in Japan. Ring Neary just hit the portal. Egan Shields just hit the portal. It's your top six guys, Mike. Next in line is Vincent Delano. And I'm assuming he's coming back. We'll have the two-man game podcast coming up on Thursday morning. That's going to be really interesting to chat with Coach Smiley about this. It doesn't look good today. So I'm putting Coach Steve Smiley in the whole show pressure cooker. He's worked magic at UNC. Hasn't been able to get over the hump and win the actual Big Sky tournament, but year after year, for the most part, he fields a pretty good basketball team. Puts together some really good players that either have tremendous careers with the Bears and finish, or they go elsewhere. Like Langston Reynolds from Minnesota was pretty good. We all know the story of Dalton Knecht. St. Thomas was pretty good. Also, guys like Quinn Danker, Brock Wisney, and Zach Block had great careers with the Bears. Can he do it again? Or is next year going to be a struggle bus for the University of Northern Colorado? So I'm putting Coach Smiley in the pressure cooker today while it's fresh.
I'm going to put some non-athletes in the pressure cooker. I'm going to put Rockies fan in the pressure cooker. I'm pressuring you to go out there and watch a game. Watch a game. It's ridiculous that yesterday's attendance was the lowest in Rockies history. I mean, yeah, I know they've been bad, but like, it just feels bad. It feels very Marlins-esque.
I'm not going to tell fans how to fan.
I am.
I get why they're not going. I'm surprised we're seeing it now. Or I'm surprised we weren't seeing it
years ago. There's hope.
There's hope. Hey, they're 4-6. Mike, there's absolutely hope. But I think a lot of people are just kind of waiting for the bottom to fall out at some point.
Let's hope the bottom does not fall out. Hey, if they can continue to go 4-6... with Major League Baseball rules, they'll almost make the playoffs.
I don't blame fans, Mike. You're putting pressure on the fans. This is the product that they've been used to now, and it's only gotten worse. Year after year, it's getting worse, and it's not a team that has a lot of success that they can say, hey, you were with us during, yeah, they had the World Series run, but for the most part, they just haven't been very successful.
Well, my devil's advocate argument is, hey, they're trying something different. And let's go support that.
Yeah, it's going to be a slow build, though. It has Monday. But still, you can't deny they've had better Mondays.
Now, let's face it. Tuesdays are days that people take off. They take Tuesdays off.
They take Tuesdays off? People take Tuesdays off?
Yeah, people take a lot of Tuesdays off. Tuesday is a great day to be like, I came in on Monday, Tuesday or a Wednesday are great days to take off. You know, you've got some work on that day, but you can push it to the next day. Thursday and Friday are difficult.
I don't know that. What world are you living in where they take Tuesdays off? Because Fridays are the day. Fridays are the day. You take a day off. I don't know about.
Yeah, but you have to rush your work.
This Tuesday thing.
You have to rush your work if it's Friday.
I'm going to put, Eastside Chris says, I'm putting Tanner in the pressure cooker. He said he's putting dollars, not cents, on the Rockies tonight. Well, Tanner's starting to believe, Mike. He's starting to believe that this team can win some games. He's starting to believe in my guy, Kyle Freeland. How about that?
Well, good for you, Tanner.
I'm with him.
Go to a game.
I'm with him. We need to get down to a game. Wild County Swami says it was pretty cold and the Nuggets were playing at home. Everyone missed a hell of a game, and that means cheaper tickets for us later. Well, I just wonder if, you know, again, I'm not really putting the Rockies in the pressure cooker, but after that kind of showing, a win tonight would be another series win, and you'd won 50% of your series so far. Maybe that's the kind of thing that starts to turn some heads.
It just feels a little embarrassing. Like, the Rockies are already embarrassing. It's just like, I hate seeing empty stands. I know middle of the day, there's nothing you can do. You know, a lot of people have to work, but it's just embarrassing. Like, oh, this is the record for lowest attendance. And the Rockies were almost record bad last year. I'm tired of the Rockies being the redheaded stepchild.
I'm telling you,
a bad name.
But you'll disagree with me on this. I think if the Rockies ever do find themselves as a regular playoff team, I think they would give the Broncos a run for their money. I think this state is desperate for the Rockies to be good.
We would see a lot more purple. We wouldn't see as much purple as we would see orange and blue, but we would see a lot of purple.
I'm saying they'd give them a run for their money. Rocktober was crazy around here. It was crazy. And, I mean, the buzz around here, that was greater than I've seen the buzz for both the Avs and the Nuggets. No question. The Rockies could easily be the second run. They could be the runner-up here.
I think the Rockies would be. I think we are a football state first, and a second place is a baseball state. And I am confident to say that. And then it would be Nuggets and Avalanche.
Which is weird, because basketball around here, like, the college teams have been pretty good. You know, CSU has been pretty good over the last few years. UNC, I think for the Bears, they have to be really good for people to actually pay attention, and that's just winning that final game in the Big Sky tournament.
I think it's more than that. I think there has to be more community involvement.
Sorry,
Greeley, but like, you go to Fort Collins, you see Rams stuff everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
Like, it's everywhere. I used to live in Fort Collins, and it was everywhere.
Oh, it's even more now.
You see here, Greeley, there's not a lot of Bear stuff. And granted, they haven't had a rich football history since, you know, the 90s, but have a good basketball team. You've had good men's and women's basketball teams for years, and you have good volleyball, and you have good wrestling. Let's see more
the buy-in
blue and gold.
The buy-in in Fort Collins for CSU is huge. I mean, you're seeing it now more than ever. There's billboards everywhere in town. I mean, I live on the outskirts, kind of. I'm in Fort Collins, but you know, I'm off Prospect. As soon as you turn west, you're just starting to get into town, and I always see there's a giant Rams billboard lit up, and then you move on down 3 or 4 miles, there's another one. There's just a lot of presence, a lot of Rams presence. And yeah, they pay for that too, but there's also a lot of businesses that are big-time supporters of the Rams as well. And I mean, I don't know. There's not a ton of places where you go into in Greeley where it's like, yeah, those guys are big-time Bears people. It's not like an obvious thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've seen a couple places where it's like, oh, they have this Bears logo. But it's not a lot of those places. There's no restaurant that is like, you know, big, huge Bears fans. Like, you want to see more of that.
Yeah, you just don't. It's just not that way. I think they're trying, like, the new administration, the new information team is pretty good. The team that's been there for a couple of years now, they've been pretty aggressive, pretty active in the community and trying to get people involved. And that's kind of where it starts. But
hopefully some lights will help, some night games.
Yeah, and that sounds pretty good. That sounds like that's maybe going to be a go. I don't know if it's going to happen as soon as this fall, but it sounds like it's definitely going to happen.
Well, hopefully. Hopefully they can raise the money for that.
Smitty says, this is another thing. You know, just imagine the CSU energy once we actually have a consistent winner on the gridiron. If they start to win on the football field with that stadium, filling that thing up, there would be so much freaking energy Fort Collins. It'd go crazy up here. I mean, Mike, when I was out, we did that pregame show for the Rocky Mountain Showdown a couple years ago. We'll get to a clip from that on Coach Prime, too. But the energy around there, it shows you what it could be. Now, Buffs fans are going to go, oh, well, yeah, you got to have Coach Prime to do that. No, I really feel if the football team is good on a consistent basis, and I'm not talking they win six games and they get into Michael's Dorito Bowl or whatever. I'm talking they're a legitimate contender to win their conference, and you're at least looking at them in the top 25 on a somewhat regular basis. Yeah, this community would flip.
If you go to Michael's Dorito Bowl, you don't deserve to be in a bowl.
Will the Rams ever get back to a regular game with the Buffs?
Yes.
You think so?
I think now that they have a legit coach, yes.
How about this? Here's what Coach Prime had to say. He thinks that they should start playing each other again. It might not be as conventional as we all think, but here's what Coach Prime has to say.
I would like to go down the street and play a home and away against Colorado State. I think it's only right.
Like an exhibition?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think it's a beautiful thing. We're gonna sell a stadium out. We're gonna sell their stadium out, and it's a 2-year deal. We go home and away. I think it's appropriate, and I think you guys get a lot of it. And we want to measure ourselves against not just ourselves, against someone else. Like if the offense is doing well, what does that say about the defense, and vice versa? We want to really measure ourselves against another worthy opponent that don't know us like they do. You don't even have to let us play a game. Can we practice against? Just let us practice against them a couple of days.
What do you think of that? If you can't have the fall game, which I'm not like you. I don't know if the Buffs are ever going to go for that. I don't, because there's too much to lose. If you lose to the Rams, oh, that's colossal. If you beat the Rams, you're supposed to beat the Rams.
They're already losing.
Yeah, but I would love it. Yes, I love that game. That game is my favorite game. I'm a local guy. I'm a Northern Colorado guy, and I like to see these teams go up against each other. I love it when it converges, and we get to talk about it. It was so much fun. There was so much juice around that.
You got so much hate.
So much hate, and it was so much fun. Some nasty things were being said about me, but it was so much fun because most of them are trolls, and you just don't take them seriously. But it was a blast, and I actually gained, believe it or not, a good amount of Buffs fans that listen to this show from that junk because we had good conversations. I'd like to think I added some juice to that game, Mike. I think I added a little juice to that game. And it was fun. But if you can't have if the Buffs won't go for every year consistently, would you take that? Would you take a spring game every year, them playing each other in spring? It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't do anything.
I would take something. I would take anything that you can get. I would take any interaction between the two. I think they should play each other every year. You know, my team, Washington, didn't have to play Washington State, but they decided, yes, we will play those lower wussy team, that lower wussy, barely a college school. And I think CU should do the same thing. You have a lot of teams where it's like, yeah, they are our big rivals. If we lose to them, it's a problem for us. But we have to do this anyway because it makes us and it makes them money. It's an interstate thing, and we have to do it. And I think we need to get back into that because that used to be a huge story. I mean, I remember couches being set on fire because CSU upset CU.
Really?
I remember, like, there were people get crazy because of stuff like this. And I want to see more of that other than the crazy.
I mean, it did get to the point where it was getting kind of toxic. I think at the end of the last game, there was just so much trash talk that it was kind of exhausting. And I think a lot of people were ready to just move on. I think Coach Prime just invites, whether it's on his side or not, invites so much of that. But I think most people would agree that they're ready for that to happen on a regular basis. It should happen. I get why CU's not pushing for that. I do get it. But what's better for the state is better football. And if we're seeing those two teams, if they could have a game like they had 3 years ago, I mean, didn't that go to double overtime? You can get games like, I'm not saying you're going to get games like that all the time, but you get games like that, or close, comes down to a final score, final field goal, whatever. It's so good. The buzz around here. It does make football better. And like I always say, whether you're a Rams fan or a Buffs fan, you play that game and then you root for them the next week because it makes you look better. If you lose a close game, you want them to win so that loss doesn't look as bad. If you win, you want them to look good so the win looks better.
Yeah, and that's the formula. And even though the formula drives you crazy because you have to root for teams that you absolutely hate, the formula is the formula. It's all what's good for your team.
Yeah, I agree. I think we need to have it, man.
And I think with Coach Prime saying this, I think that's kind of the first step into getting back into this, whether we're going to get consistent games or whether we're getting consistent interaction of some sort.
Yeah, I appreciate him acknowledging that it's good to have it. It's good to have some kind of CSU-CU presence in this state. You know, CU, you like it too. Buffs fans like it. You like to throw out little brother all the time. Well, that doesn't exist if you don't keep this series going. You don't get to tout that. It's just you compare each other's records, and you know that's never going to work. You want to play the Rams. Buffs fans want to play the Rams. Some will tell you they don't, but they want to play them. But I don't know. It's a wild concept. I mean, spring football. Talk about putting some meaning to the spring game. Would they sell out?
They wouldn't sell out, but you'd probably get some money in that. You'd make your money back. Like the money that you're spending on hotel rooms and buses, travel, food. Like you'd make your money back selling tickets, absolutely.
That'd be the way to put emphasis on spring football. Not that anybody cares right now. I mean, we got spring ball. I know the Rams are in spring ball right now. UNC's starting this week. I talk to me in the fall. I don't. When I first started doing this show and I started caring about spring ball, okay, it was like, all right, let's do it to have some juice, something to talk about, learn about the team. But I tell you, man, the more and more we do this, the less interested I am in spring football. It just, I know the coaches will tell you something different, and we're gonna have Jim Mora on the show next week, actually, and we are gonna talk about spring ball. You know, and how he views spring ball, and is there ways to make it better? Do you care? Do we care? Do we need spring ball to be better? Do we want CU and CSU to play in a meaningless spring football game just for fun, just for trash talk purposes only?
Even if it's scrimmages, like what they do in preseason in the NFL, even if it's that, that's fun. Like, that's something that I wouldn't mind watching.
I don't know.
Put that on Altitude 5.
I'm not sure if I'm into it. I'm going. You know, I'm definitely going, and we're going to gear up for it. And so I would kind of probably just buy into it if it were actually there. But am I voting for that to happen today? I don't know.
You'd have to promote it right. If it's just a practice, it's
well, you
not
know, we'd keep record.
Good,
we'd but... keep record. It, we would keep record whether the schools want to acknowledge that or not. We would all keep record of it.
Oh yeah, it would. It would have to be like CSU, the spring game of the century.
Yeah.
Instead of having the black and gold game, it would be the black and green game.
John Fort Pigskin, Colorado is Weber State in 27, Colgate in Northern Illinois in 28, CSU 29 and 30. Northern Colorado in 2031 as non-conference games. Well, yeah, like, why is Colorado playing Weber State instead of Colorado State?
They need that guaranteed victory.
And Colgate. Yeah, they want the guaranteed wins. It's not a gimme that you're going to beat CSU every year. I don't believe so. Yeah, the record would show you that CU's winning more of those games, obviously. But I just think it's good for the state to have that in the fall when it matters. You actually have something that matters. So I don't hate the idea that Coach Prime's throwing out there. I at least appreciate that he's giving CSU respect enough to say it'd be worth their time to go play in a spring ball that means nothing. Spring ball game.
To me, if I were the king of all of this, everybody has to play the rival. Like, I'm making everybody play a rival.
It's great
for
football.
You have to.
Build your football. If you're the king of the NCAA football side of things, you start with every state. How do we make every state better? If they have an NCAA Division I football team, how do we make it better? How do we get people involved, get people engaged? And I think, like, UNC is going to play Wyoming. You're not that's not like a little more interesting to you than UNC playing some random team that we don't know. I mean, yeah, they're probably going to lose that game. They might not.
I actually like that rivalry. Well, not really a rivalry. I actually remember a couple years ago when UNC was only down by like 3 or 4 points through the first three quarters. Now they got blown out in the fourth quarter, but they kept it close.
Yeah, all the fumbles.
That
and
was
stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was interesting. And since in UNC CSU last year, that was the talk of the state for a week. That was the talk of the state. And that kind of stuff gets us excited. And CSU, CU, that's the talk of almost a month's worth of stuff leading into it, especially when they're the first game. First or second game.
No matter how much I wanted to talk about, obviously we talk about the Broncos, but like that CSU UNC game, like that local stuff, how rich content you
yes.
get when you have something so controversial happen. You're not going to get that when it's CSU and Weber State. CSU-Weber State, it's like, oh, that was controversial. And you talk about that one or two days. When it's in-state, that's 5 days of conversation and maybe leading into the next week.
But it's good because it's great cross-promotion, not just for UNC. I mean, for UNC, obviously, they have a lot more to gain if they win, which we all agree they kind of should have won. But if you get UNC people going over to Canvas Stadium to watch a game, Michael, they might say, oh, this is cool. I'm going to come here for a few games a year. I'm going to come check out this Rams team that just put up 30. And I go to my Bears games, but maybe when they're on the road, I'm going to go check out a CSU game. Same with basketball. It's great cross promotion. I think basketball, damn sure. They should be playing each other every year. CSU and UNC should be playing basketball against each other every year.
Do they not?
No.
That's ridiculous.
UNC and CSU?
I would like to see UNC play CSU every year.
Yeah.
I would like to say CU play CSU every year. UNC doesn't have to play against CU every year.
I like that too.
But I want to see the cross I-25 rivalry.
They should.
I like
and
that.
And they've had some good games.
They did a few years ago when UNC beat CSU.
UNC beat them once, and then I think the year they had both Roddy and Stevens, CSU was winning, and then UNC came back. UNC was winning, but CSU came back and won, and that was an exciting game.
Were you live at that game?
Was I alive?
Well, were you live at that
game? I was just at the game, just as a fan. I wore black.
Right. I have to wear neutral colors.
I love both teams. I went to UNC, but I love CSU. We've covered and talked a lot of CSU over the years. My wife went to CSU, so I've got connections there, and I will forever be a Rams fan, even though I didn't go to their school. But I went to UNC, and I'll always be a fan there, but I'm not an idiot. Well, depends on who you ask. The greater caliber of college sports is where CSU is as opposed to where UNC is. You know, like, I'm rooting for the Bears the football team to do well and make the playoffs and represent the Big Sky Conference. It's awesome. But what's bigger? The Bears going to the FCS championship or to FCS playoffs, or CSU competing in the Pac-12, maybe winning the Pac-12 championship? I mean, one of those is bigger than the other. If you're winning the Pac-12 championship, you have a shot to win it all.
Congratulations, to win it all, Mike. You beat the illegitimate
conference that
has two good teams.
Oh, the Pac-12 is going to be so good. I'm so excited. We're going to have so much fun with this because you're a former Pac-12 guy. You thought you were too good for the Pac-12, and now I'm jumping into the Pac-12 as a fan, and I'm going to just be like, the Pac-12 is great, man. You shouldn't have left.
It's not even the
Washington
Pac anymore.
Could run the Pac-12 if they would have stayed.
It's the Mountain
could
Pack.
Run it. Tanner says, didn't you do the game with Jerry? I did broadcast one game, I did, for CSU and UNC.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure if that was the game that you were on.
Yeah, I was. It was. And was that the game they won? I can't remember. Tanner's texting me. He maybe knows more. Did they win that one? I think so. The one I went to as a fan, they lost.
I remember that one was close. And that one was really exciting. And that one, I think, was in the middle of the day.
Well, your guy, Kaur Jankuch, had a really good game against David Roddy. In the game they lost.
Yeah, that guy was hardcore.
No. Isai, Chris, how does the spring roster versus fall roster work? Doesn't transfer protocol have an effect? Well, they don't. The only transfer window they have now is the one in January, right? They did away with the second one. So there's no second transfer period anymore in football. It's just the January. And that was good because you don't want to get into your spring ball and you're figuring out your roster and then suddenly a guy's like, ooh, I'm fifth on the depth chart. I'm out. Because a lot of guys would just leave after the spring because they see kind of where they were falling and get out of there.
Yeah, a lot of guys would be like, oh, man. And then thankfully that didn't happen at UNC a couple years ago where they had like five starting quarterbacks because of injury.
Yeah, 32 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
All the small things.
The Avalanche in the playoffs is no small thing. Just how far will they go? Hear Avs games and coverage on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Seven minutes after the hour, Michael. Do you remember the year that both the Avs and the Nuggets did not make the playoffs? Do you remember the year?
I'm going to guess 2006.
No. It was the first time it ever happened.
2015.
2014-15 season. Patrick Waugh was the head coach of the Colorado Avalanche, and Brian Shaw was the coach of the Denver Nuggets.
That wasn't very wonderful.
No, that was rough. Patrick Waugh started out really nice, you know, his first year, I think.
I think they started like 6-0.
Yeah, and they made the playoffs his first year, didn't he? And then after that, it was rough, and then they missed the playoffs again the next year. And then remember, he abruptly quit and left the team like in August, and that's when Jared Bednar was called.
Yeah, they got Bednar from, I don't know if he was from the AHL or not, but he had plenty of coaching and championship experience.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were really skeptical about Jared Bednar coming to the Avs because it was like, well, what are you going to do? You're replacing Patrick Waugh, who's an Avalanche legend, and it just didn't work out. With a guy that most, you know, a lot of even big hockey guys didn't know. And I remember a Denver Post article coming out, Mike. It was like the dark day at the Pepsi Center. First time both teams did not make the playoffs. We've always had action. I mean, the Avs have only missed the playoffs. Let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. As the Colorado Avalanche, they've only missed the playoffs that many times. But it would always, when they were having bad years or whatever, George Karl was the coach of the Nuggets, and they were a fixture in those playoffs. So during some of those rough goes with the Avs, the Nuggets were at least making the playoffs. So we were always used to some kind of postseason going on.
And the Nuggets would make the playoffs, how far they would get.
Yeah. No, that was a wild time and a depressing time, Michael. Very depressing time.
But how were the Broncos?
That year? What year was that? Was that the year that
they were in the playoffs?
Was that the playoffs year? Yeah. Yeah. Crazy time. But now we're spoiled, man, and we get to see the Avs and the Nuggets in the playoffs all the time. And I'm telling you, this postseason is going to absolutely rock. All right, 40 minutes after the hour, Mike, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
You liking the Avs to win it all, Mike?
I'm liking it.
How you feeling about the Nuggets?
You know, they're a basketball team that has a really great...
Why do you do things like this?
I don't know if they're going to win it all.
They won 9 in a row.
Yeah, but you don't have confidence in them winning it all. At least you don't seem to.
Am I overly confident that they could win it all like I was 2 years ago? No. I think they have a shot.
I have fear of teams. Let me say this. They can win it all.
It's not necessarily about fearing that they lose, Mike. It's about who do I think the Nuggets have a better shot of getting past easier in the first round? Because that's what sometimes it comes down to. Let me put it like this. I would be disappointed if the Avs don't win a Stanley Cup. If the Nuggets don't win an NBA championship and the Spurs or the Thunder do, I will not be disappointed. I'll be bummed out. Am I expecting Denver to win the NBA title this year? Not today. I think they can, though. I think there's a realistic shot that they could. That's what I'll say. I feel like there's an opportunity for the Broncos to, or for the Broncos, the for the Nuggets to do it. They've been playing, you know, they like last night. Where was their defense until the fourth quarter? They can play it when they want to. Can we see that intensity that we saw against the Spurs through off and on parts of that game, but especially at the end, that intensity that we saw against the Trailblazers last night in the fourth quarter and then in overtime, you give me that, and I like their chances just as much as anybody else. But I think that, yes, they're not a favorite. The Avs are a favorite.
You know what? I want the Nuggets to play the Spurs in the playoffs. I want them to sweep the Spurs so that Sean Keeler can write an article, Nuggets spurn Spurs.
That's why you would like that?
Boom.
That's pretty good. Well, at least you're creative. You know, at least you're creative. But I'm telling you, this is just the way I feel. Disappointed if the Avs don't win it all. Understandable if the Nuggets don't win it all this year. What? I'm not like you. I bring logic to. I don't just get. If I got on here every 3 hours every day.
Oh, the Broncos are going to win the Super Bowl. The Nuggets are going to win the championship. The Avs are going to win the Stanley Cup, and the Rockies are going to win 40.
If I was like that, nobody would listen. Because it's, that guy we won't give him any credibility. He thinks they're going to win every game. So I don't do that. They can win a championship, but I'm not going to be you. I just feel like they're going to beat anybody. I can't do that. That's childish. I don't play the little kid games like you do, Mike.
The Rockies can win a championship, too. But I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen for a while. Well, Kenny Swami. Oh, how about this? Okay, let me read this. Only four times have the Nuggets, Avalanche, and Broncos all made the playoffs in the same year. What was four times the Nuggets, Avalanche, and Broncos all made the playoffs in the same year? Golden era. What are those years? I'm curious to know. All right, we got to take a break here, wrap up the show. What did we learn? Coming up next.
What is the Dirty 30?
Give me a head with hair. Long, beautiful hair.
The boys aren't shaving until the Rockies win 30. Hear Rockies games and talk on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
What's up, hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what do we learn on this seventh day of April, Michael? Well, we learned that the Bears got some bad news in the basketball department with a couple of guys we thought were going to be big pieces to this team next year entering the transfer portal. Egan Shields and Ring Neary, kind of a bummer. And we learned that the Rockies are interesting, kind of, at this point, maybe.
Yeah, but Rockies fans, we found out, don't want to go just yet.
Maybe so. Yeah, maybe they don't want to go just yet. They don't want to go to the games. They've been hurt too much, and they can't go back. Michael, what'd you learn today?
I learned that Coach Prime wants to focus some attention on CSU. Maybe he wants the state to get a little more interest in both.
Maybe a little more money, too.
Of course.
Another way to earn some money in the
spring.
He's
seeing green in two different ways.
Yeah, I mean, make some money in the spring. And that's maybe what this is motivated by. It's interesting that he's talking about it. I just don't know that I can, that I'm like, oh, yeah, spring ball between these two teams in a game that means absolutely nothing. Is it better than nothing? I don't.
Better than nothing.
Okay, maybe. Maybe. Maybe I'll go there with you. All right, Mike, that'll do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Wednesday. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.